I don't look at it at all as an entry drug. I look at it as an exit drug for traditional medications to be able to help people segue off whatever they're taking now.
You're listening to the Almost 30 Podcast, a lifestyle podcast hosted by Krista Williams and Lindsay Simsek.
Tune in for a new episode every Tuesday to hear our honest conversations about topics like wellness, entrepreneurship, spirituality, and self-development with guests who are really smart, really inspirational,
and really fucking funny. It's real, it's raw, and it's unfiltered.
Inspired by our transition from our 20s to our 30s, we realized it's so much more than that. Our mission is to provide you with the tools, guidance, and motivation to help you navigate any transitions in your life and propel your personal growth.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Almost 30 Podcast.
Here we go.
Live and living color.
Live and living color. That was our first Erewhon date today in a long time.
I know. It was good. It was really good. I'm drinking Alyssa's thyroid juice right now. Do you guys remember the episode with Alyssa Goodman? We talked about her curing herself from cancer. Mm-hmm. And she has her own juice at Erewhon. It's like cucumber, parsnip, celery, coconut cream, ginger. I don't know what else is in it, but it's so good.
Mm. Does it have chia seeds in it?
Mm-mm.
No.
Should. Coconut cream is so good.
Well, yeah. It's the best.
It's really good. I was like, oh, like I wasn't going to buy the juice. And I was like, that's a nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's
I bought
so good.
It. Yeah.
So like a treat.
It's a nice treat.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to Almost 30.
Welcome to Almost 30 Podcast.
It's us.
It's us.
Your
How
best
are you
friends.
This week? We are best friends. We are best friends with you. How are you this week? We are so excited about, I mean, we say that every week, but like this week's crazy.
Yeah.
This is groundbreaking.
Well, I think, you know, we listen to a lot of other podcasts and I don't think a lot of people are talking about this right now.
Yep.
Even though, you know, a lot of people are curious mm-hmm. about it and interested in it, but it is cannabis week here.
Cannabis almost, week. It's weed week. We have our little episode schedule out and we put weed week, baby.
Weed week.
Should have waited till 4:20.
Damn, I know, but you know what? Miss. So predictable.
Yeah,
y'all.
So true. We're pre 4:20, so you guys can, you know,
we're
get
not
ready
about
for
being,
4:20.
Yeah, we're not about being predictable, y'all.
It's my favorite holiday. I remember in high school, people would like skip school on 4:20.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Not mine. Mine was like all the losers.
I don't think I ever did, but I maybe would have. I don't know, probably. One time, we were at my house. I was in high school and I went through like a weed smoking phase like senior year. I never mm-hmm. really liked it, but I just did it because all my guy friends did. I hung out with all guys at that time mm-hmm. and they were called the Wolfpack.
LOL.
LOL is amazing. Justin talks about the Wolfpack all the time. It's honestly, amazing. They were cool as fuck though. And they like made me who I am and I fucking loved them. And they like kept me grounded. But we were smoking weed in our backyard on the back porch. And we were all like so high and they would always complain because I'd get peanut butter all over the little bowl. Because I'd be literally like, they'd always be like, oh, there's peanut butter all over it. Because I'd be like running my fingers in peanut butter. And we were like sitting out there and we were so high on my back porch and we're like just chilling. And then we heard this rustling in the bushes and we're like freaking out. We're like, oh my God, we're so nervous. We're going to get caught. And we're like, it's so loud. And this guy comes out of the bushes and we're like, what's going on? And he like comes up to the screen and he's like, a lawn care guy from next door. He's like, can I have a hit? And like,
he like followed the trail.
Literally followed the trail and like asked to like have a hit. It was so funny.
Damn.
We're like, sure, man. And then he like went back on his merry old way. He was a poofer.
Damn.
In and out real quick.
It's like a little weed angel.
I know, a little weed angel.
My first time smoking pot, it was my freshman year of college. And I was hanging out with like the cool, like seniors in the theater department.
Mm.
Cool. I use quotes, but they are amazing. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like a nerdy party, mm-hmm. but they're smoking weed and they did it in a toilet paper roll and they put the dryer sheet over it. So like no one smelled it.
Chamber.
And the chamber. And I got a bloody nose immediately.
No.
Like an uncontrollable, I wasn't like snorting it. I was like, I guess it was just sensitive. I don't know why. I used to get bloody noses a lot when I was little.
could not control this bloody nose. Like clots were coming, like my brain matter was coming out of my nose. It was crazy. And everyone was like freaking out because everyone was so high.
They're like, oh man.
It was like so gnarly. And I was like, okay, so I'm never doing that again.
Damn.
I didn't smoke again until like later on.
Really? When was the last time you smoked? I can't remember the last time I smoked.
Yeah, I've smoked out here. I don't like to smoke. I like edibles better. I've used a vape pen, but it doesn't, I don't really feel it.
I know, I don't really.
But edibles, I kind of like, I like to chill and like go to bed.
It's like a body high more so. Mm-hmm. I'm not really cool when I smoke weed. I like always like say the joke that like ends the jokes. Like everyone's like, aha, laughing, haha. And then I'll be like, say something. And then everyone's like,
or maybe that's just what goes on in your head.
Probably. Yeah, I'm too like paranoid. I'm just like, I'm so ugly and I'm melting into the couch. I'll never forget, I was in high school and I was like hanging out with this girl who was like a big cokehead in high school. I don't even know. She was like the most stunning girl I've ever seen. She wouldn't go to my high school. Her name is Rachel. And she was like, you know how weed makes you feel ugly? And I was like, yeah. She's like, coke makes you feel beautiful.
Damn.
And I didn't try it until like college, but I was like, I'll never forget her saying that.
Coke makes you feel beautiful. That's a tank top if I've ever.
I know. I was like, you are a visionary.
She's like, hi right there. She's like, uh-huh.
Yeah, honestly.
Damn.
It was crazy. I was like, okay, anyways, we're off track. So on this podcast, this is really exciting. We have the chief medical officer of HelloMD. So HelloMD is a website that you can get answers, you can share ideas, you can explore CBD cannabis products. Basically, it is the largest medical cannabis community. So people go there to ask questions about marijuana, ask questions about CBD, ask questions about weed, edibles, all of these things. And you can connect with people to talk about maybe cannabis products that help you fall asleep, that help with pain. They have articles, they have videos, they have tons of stuff on there that makes it really accessible and really easy for you to understand what is going on in the cannabis community.
Yeah, and it was really interesting to talk to Perry because, you know, he's not like young buck chilling like, hey, weed's cool. Like cannabis is cool. You know, he's an older guy who
knows background.
Yeah, knows the history also of cannabis too. And pinpoints, we talk about like where and why, you know, weed was stigmatized, you know, and it was like made this drug that was bad and was causing all of this havoc when really there are so many people who are benefiting from using cannabis, from very serious illnesses and conditions down to something like not so serious. So we know you guys will love this episode. You can actually reach out to Perry. He was like, yeah, have everyone reach out to me if they have any questions.
So Perry was actually a medical doctor. He went to Columbia University College, got his medical degree, worked a lot in medicine. And then as he started to educate himself and kind of moved to California and saw the benefits that cannabis and CBD had on groups of elderly people in nursing homes, he was, turned on to speaking the truth about this product and, you know, this natural thing that helps a lot of people. So in this, we talk a lot about, like Lindsay said, where the stigma around weed came from. We talk about CBD, the difference between CBD and cannabis, benefits of CBD, how people are using it, some studies that have shown the effects it can have on cancer patients, on pain, on sleep. So we really just go deep into talking about this natural help for people.
So join our secret Facebook group, hop in there, let us know what you think of this episode. This is a two-parter this week. So this is part one of our conversation.
It's a real heavy episode. Like it gets kind of deep into stuff. So we broke it up into parts so that it's much easier to digest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of science. So get your notebooks out. We think you will really get a lot out of this and connect with us on Instagram too at Almost30Podcast. And if you haven't already, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes.
Yeah, we keep seeing those come through and it means so much. And then when you tag us on Instagram and your stories, we see your stories every week. We give you shout outs on weekly on Instagram, but those are amazing to share with others.
Yeah, we love you guys. Enjoy this episode. This episode is brought to you by Moellens, M-O-W-E-L-L-E-N-S. All right, everyone, perk up. I need your full attention. I have been waiting to introduce this brand to our community. My friend Amy Duncan started Moellens very recently, within the last month. She's been working on it for a while, though. This girl boss spent almost 10 years in healthcare and biotechnology, walked away from corporate America when her husband's brain cancer returned, and her passion for the power of plants grew as she was standing by her husband's side as he battled a malignant brain tumor in 2012. And as his treatments progressed, so did her belief in the healing power of cannabis. Listen, guys, this brand is so special, so conscious. Amy is doing it right. She is using pure ingredients, so you don't have to worry about synthetic fragrances. All the aromatics and essential oils are pure and sourced from around the world. Some of the products that I love, my top two, the CBD Topical Wellness Oil. Radiant skin is an understatement, okay? I put this on before my serum. You would not believe how my skin looks. It actually increases the penetration of the active ingredients in your serum. And with CBD, you have all the anti-inflammatory, anti-aging, moisture-rich properties added in. Also, my number one, the avocado honey, the CBD-infused avocado honey. Okay, it comes in this freaking adorable honeycomb-shaped vessel. Drizzle it in your morning matcha or over your avocado toast smoothies. I actually made CBD fat balls with it. So freaking good. It is deep, rich color. It has a super high mineral content. I am calmer. My mood is more balanced. I am less stressed. I have a restful sleep. I'm just a better human, period, the end. And I am so excited to share this with you guys. You can go to moellens.com, moellens.com. Use our code ALMOST30 for 15% off your first order. And I will also mention that for every item sold, $1 is donated to organizations committed to supporting initiatives near and dear to the Moellens mission, holistic wellness and self-care education, family scale sustainable farmers, and those who create meaningful experiences for brain tumor patients. And the best part is that their customers decide how the dollars are spent. I am so proud of you, Amy. We are sending a big hug and lots of healing, good energy to your husband. And I am just so excited to share this with our community. So head to moellens.com, Moellens. I know you're going to be in love with these products, the story, and how these products will make you feel. This episode is also brought to you by Illuminate.
Illuminate is my favorite spa to go to in Brentwood, California. Lindsay and I have been going there for the past couple months now, and they basically have you covered. What I love about Illuminate is that they mix like the holistic with the
non-holistic?
with the medical. So they give you crystals, they give you essential oils, they make it a really, really nice experience, and you can get almost anything there. So you can get your injectables, your Botox, Juvederm, anything like that. You can also get amazing facials. They have great products. They just have a bunch of things on their menu. So if you live in California or even in Las Vegas, they have another location in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's the perfect place to go for your spa treatments.
And if you're traveling, you know, if you're traveling to LA or Las Vegas, definitely make a point. I've been doing my laser, which has been working out so, so well. Mm-hmm. But we did get hydrotherapy facial the other day and it was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. I think I'm going to go there for my laser hair removal because I need it.
Yeah, they're great. So if you mention almost 30,
yes,
when you go to Illuminate, you get $100 off.
100 bucks.
A $200 or more service.
That's insane.
So head
50% off
the frick over there.
Get over there.
Brentwood, California or Las Vegas.
I love you. I love you.
Weather, but it is a little hot today. So sometimes I'm kind of jealous of the people, you know, in NorCal, because it's like you could go outside and when you said you were cycling, I'm like, oh, you must live in the East Bay or, you know, in like Palo Alto around those areas, because there's such good trails and there's so much room.
Yeah, it's really, it's true. And it can get out because I'm in the East Bay, like I said. So it's that's like the city where it stays relatively cool. It does get 100 and something here during the summer, but then by the counter thing, we don't have a beach here to go to like you guys do either. So, you know, I am a little jealous of that. But my son lives in the city. He goes surfing and he's in a wetsuit all the time because it's freezing.
Oh, yeah. That's, where do you surf then? Like, where's, like, where does someone surf in?
He surfs in, I guess, Ocean Beach and I don't even know where the hell he goes. I've never seen him. I've seen him do it when we go to Hawaii, but not anything around here.
I would be scared.
Yeah, some tents in the back.
I guess not sharks, but just like in the Pacific.
Sharks, too.
But in the Pacific, it's a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's colder. Yeah. I don't like cold water. I mean, we have a pool and stuff, and I won't go in until it's, you know, close to 80 degrees.
I know.
I just like it warm. I'm certified in scuba, and I got certified in Monterey, and I had a dry suit on, which is like a thermal inside and then a plastic outside, and no water gets in. I was still cold. It's so cold.
Oh my God.
It's freezing.
It's good for you though. That hot cold therapy.
The hot cold, that nervous system's probably your nervous rock system. Hard.
Mm-hmm.
Give me warm. Cold is forget it. I moved from the East Coast years ago. I don't really care about the cold anymore.
We're on the East Coast.
I don't care about changing seasons in Massachusetts and New York. And so,
oh yeah. I went to school in Boston and I lived in New York. So I feel ya.
I don't miss the winters at all. Even though we're going back I'm going back this weekend to babysit one of our grandkids. So,
it's
supposed to be in the 40s and 30s and snow, but
makes the travel worth it.
It's only going to be a short time. So seeing them is going to be okay.
So would love Perry to just talk a little bit about, I'm curious, you know, to start the conversation about your journey to where you are today. So I knew you kind of seemed like you were in more traditional medicine, and kind of what led you to this space and like a passion and interest in it.
Okay. I am a board certified anesthesiologist. I graduated from Columbia on the East Coast and then went to Philadelphia for residency and internship and residency, and moved out to California in 89 and opened a hospital as starting the anesthesia department in San Ramon, California, and practiced anesthesia a little bit in Massachusetts before coming out here, and did anesthesia for 20 years or something, and then stopped doing anesthesia and got involved in some medical startups, consulting with medical device companies. And then I had a company that was exporting medical equipment to Asia for several years. And then in March or February of 2015, got introduced to Mark and Pamela Hadfield. And someone introduced us, and they were just pivoting the Hello MD platform from what they had done previously, which was second opinion consultations for medical opinions, to cannabis. And they wanted to do medical cannabis evaluations because the preceding October, the medical board in California said that the evaluations for cannabis could be done using remote capabilities or tele-evaluations. So they had the evaluation, the tele part, all set up already. And so they pivoted to start doing recommendations. And we started talking, we hit it off, and I became the chief medical officer when we started in March of 2015, which is this next month, is 3 years. So when we just first started, I had been familiar with cannabis in terms of knowing that it would need a recommendation, that it was good for some medical conditions, but not having been educated in it and just having exposure to cannabis in college many, many years ago, I just had no idea of the medicinal properties. And so I started doing some research about it. And we did our first conference at a senior living facility in Walnut Creek, California, called Rossmore. And they had already had, this was 3 years ago, a cannabis club. And the cannabis club there had about 120 members.
At the senior living center?
Correct.
Cool.
They had already had it. And
wow.
Which was, you know, again, 3 years ago, and people had been, it'd been legal in California for 20 for medicinal purposes, but they had a small group of people who found that it was useful. So Pamela Hadfield and I gave a talk there. And when I showed up, there was about 100 of the 120 or so members were in attendance and listened to our conversation. And one of the questions I was asking them is, well, how many of you actually have recommendations and what do you use it for? And 80 of them already picked up their hands and used it for pain. Pain was overwhelmingly what they had used it for. And I was fascinated and said, and I really went around the room and asked them pretty much what they used it for. And they all found pain being the number one condition. And we find it still to be number one. But these people who are 55 and older were using it instead of opioids, anti-inflammatories, aspirin, Tylenol, all the usual medications as ointments, tinctures, vaping, to be able to decrease their use of opioids, decrease their reliance on other medications, and use cannabis instead. So that pretty much sold me in saying there really is something here, and I really have to dive deeper into this as we progressed in Hello MD. And as the years have gone on, I've just seen that it really does help. It really is something that is an alternative to other medication. And in subsequently found also the lack of information to give into physicians about it, like me, going to medical school and afterwards about cannabis, just that it was a Schedule I drug and you shouldn't even talk about it. And it's very hard to even be educated about it as to the medicinal properties of it. And the doctors just are unfamiliar with it completely and just have a stigma about it as the stoner dude people are the only ones who use cannabis, and that's the only reason people want to get a recommendation or until January 1 when you don't need one. But that was in the past why anyone would want it, just to get high, and it just isn't true. And so that became the journey, and that's how I kind of wound up here 3 years later still with Hello MD.
Wow. Can you talk to us about the science behind how it works and how it subdues pain and it's relaxing people, helping people sleep, reducing anxiety? I don't know the science behind it. I just know it works. But.
Well, basically, there's something in our system that, and we were never taught this up until very recently, if now only a few schools, about the endocannabinoid system. And the endocannabinoid system is a system of homeostasis in our bodies that keep everything in check. In other words, it's something that was discovered around the early 1970s by Raphael Meshulam in Israel. And it's something that genetically has been there for thousands and thousands of years in terms of making the system of the body a check and balance. In other words, what happens is you have synapses in your body and chemicals become released from one side of a synapse to the other to transfer information and sensations. And what happens is there's a retrograde feedback mechanism. In other words, you can picture two ends of a wire. And from one end, the electricity or the information goes to the other end. And if something gets overstimulated because it's out of balance, the endocannabinoid system is the system that takes the second signal, goes back to the first one and says, okay, slow down that rate of firing for pain or sensation or anxiety, whatever it may be. And usually when the body's in homeostasis, the endocannabinoid system, endo meaning it's from your body, the feedback mechanism is such that everything stays nice and cool. Everything's calm, cool, collected. You're not really, the pain isn't there, everything's fine. But when things start firing abnormally, the endocannabinoid system gets kind of out of whack. And if you have a decrease in some of the endocannabinoids, such as the anandamide is one of them, and 2-AG is another one, and these are natural chemicals that are found in your body that act as that retrograde feedback blocker to slow things down or speed things up. If those are lacking or not in balance, things happen that you don't want to have to happen, whether it be an immunologic problem, whether it be from pain or anything else. Phytocannabinoids, the things that are in cannabis, phyto meaning plant, there's phytocannabinoids that match up to the two that are in the body are THC and CBD. Each of those take the place of the endocannabinoids that may be deficient. And so those chemicals that you use from the plant essentially take over for the ones that's supposed to be in your body in good balance. And that's why those have the properties that they do. So CBD, for example, is more of a anti-inflammatory compound that helps with the CB2 receptor. That's one that is concentrated in the inflammatory tissues, et cetera, in the body. And the THC concentrates on the CB1 receptor that's mostly found in the brain, which is why you get those psychoactive effects from THC and you don't get it from CBD, because there's not many CBD receptors or CB2 receptors in the brain, which is why you can have CBD and not get the psychoactive effects.
Okay, so this is crazy. So that was amazing. So is it by coincidence that it is called in the brain the endocannabinoid, and we call it cannabis? Like, was it cannabis named because we have that part of the brain that is the endocannabinoid?
Endocannabinoid.
Endocannabinoid.
Endocannabinoid system. Was it named like that? That's a very good question. I can't give you the answer to that, but it sounds like it makes sense. But cannabis. It was named like that after, because they found the association between them, because cannabis is the generic name for the plant itself, and that's been discovered. That was many years before the endocannabinoid was discovered. So I think they named it that, just as you mentioned, because of the association of THC and CBD with the endocannabinoid, the anandamide and the 2-AG and the other ones that are in the system. So they said, let's just name it the endocannabinoid versus the phytocannabinoid, which is the pH, the PHYTO, the phyto meaning plant, which is the THC and the CBD.
So the phytocannabinoid is the plant, and the endocannabinoid, right? Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
Endocannabinoid is actually in our bodies, and every person has this, and it functions regularly, and it could not function regularly, correct?
Correct. Even slugs and every mammal, every living thing has an endocannabinoid system, it's been found.
Wow. Okay. And then so
we could help slugs too.
Yeah. Slugs need weed too. So
if the slug is moving too slow, this is something that can help the slug, is to move along and sluggishly move from one point to the other. Yes.
We'll give them a little vape pen, a little slug vape pen.
Put some rub on them. Yes.
We interrupt this episode to bring you a word from our sponsor, Four Sigmatic. We're talking to Mackenzie from New York this week, and she's going to tell us why she loves Four Sigmatic.
Hey, everyone. So I'm chatting with Mackenzie from New York. She is an OG listener, and she is obsessed with Four Sigmatic. Tell us about it, Mackenzie.
I am absolutely obsessed with Four Sigmatic. It is probably the one thing that bookends my day every single day, and I cannot get enough of their products. It is probably a lifesaver living here in Manhattan, having the flight products that they have for the chronically stressed out, overworked, and constantly tired New Yorkers like myself.
What are you drinking or using?
So I start my morning with my chaga and lion's mane coffee. Then around 3 o'clock, when I start kind of getting tired, I always have my mocha, which is so delicious and so wonderful. And everybody in my office is constantly asking me why I have hot chocolate in the middle of the day. Exactly. And I'm like, you guys got to get on this whole Four Sigmatic train. And then I love to finish out my day with Reishi hot chocolate. And surprisingly, I have actually gotten my father, who never in a million years thought he would get into kind of, as he sees it, the hippy-dippy product. He cannot start his morning without the Cordyceps and Chaga coffee. So my mom now has to go to Whole Foods, find this funky mush coffee, as she asked the people for, so that my dad can get going. And the same thing, I got my aunt into it, who was a total powdered creamer and Dunkin' Donuts person. And instead now she is all about that Four Sigmatic, which makes my heart happy.
Good for you for spreading the love. Yeah, it's hard to convert people when they're so used to what has quote unquote worked for them for so long, but they don't realize that the jitters and the anxiety and the crash halfway through the day is not normal.
Exactly. And I think what's crazy for me with the midday mocha, I know you know, I used to go to that espresso shop in the middle of the day, and obviously live in Manhattan, you put coffee on top of espresso on top of caffeine, and next thing you know, you're on the train feeling like the whole train is crawling with people, and you can feel your anxiety rising. And I've noticed that I'm a lot more chill and able to handle the stress of the middle of the day while also still feeling plugged in, and like I can continue to go for however many more hours and meetings that are in front of me.
Oh, I love that. Well, our listeners, as you know, can go to foursigmatic.com/almost30 to get 15% off your first order. You know, peruse the website, take it from Mackenzie. Her suggestions are some of my favorites too. So foursigmatic.com/almost30 for 15% off. Thanks, Mackenzie.
No problem.
This episode is also brought to you by BarkBox.
BarkBox. Barky Boxy. So although I don't have a dog, I have many people in my life that love their dogs. So when Lindsay and I were able to give BarkBox to one of our good friends, Natasha, and her amazing little pupper, it made us so happy because I know that it made her and her pup so happy.
Yeah.
So one way cute. To show someone you love someone the is by loving their dog too.
And the toys and the treats are so
freaking cute. Right now, there's like a New York theme box. So you get like a little taxi cab squish toy. You get amazing little New York dog treats. It's basically everything you would want in a little box to make your puppy happy.
So for our listeners, you can go to BarkBox.com/almost30 and you'll get an extra month when you subscribe to a 6 or 12 month plan.
Ooh.
Yeah. And the it's shipped right to your door. The first box that you order ships right then, immediately. And then following boxes ship on the 15th of every month. Shipping is always free. It's like a dog party. The dog gets so excited. A dog almost always knows.
Yeah.
Comes to the door, it knows.
Yep.
So sweet. So if you have a dog or you know someone who has a dog, this is a great gift. BarkBox.com/almost30 for a free month when you get a 12 or 6 month plan.
So the phytocannabinoid, which is, it takes the place of, you know, these two receptors, CBD1, CBD2. So CBD connects to the CBD2 receptor, correct?
Correct. The CBD2 receptor mm-hmm. and the THC connects to the CB1 receptor.
Yep. Okay, cool. And that's the one that's the psychoactive. So THC is the psychoactive.
Correct. And, it's psychoactive because of the fact that the CB1 receptor is primarily in the brain. And it's thought that the runner's high and the other things that occur because of the anandamide, the 2-AG, the one that goes up into the brain, causes that rush of feeling because the endorphins don't cross the blood-brain barrier. In other words, the endorphins people say it's the endorphin rush. And essentially, it's probably not. It's probably the anandamide that gets into the brain because the endorphins don't cross the blood-brain barrier to get into the head. So the rush that they're feeling is probably from the endocannabinoid system in the brain more than anything else.
Wow.
So the THC... Are you using that mainly to reduce like anxiety, like just thinking about the brain? Is that mainly brain and then CBD is mainly pain management?
Mm-hmm.
Or could it be both?
They all seem to meld together and do both. Mm-hmm. What it's called is the entourage effect. And the entourage effect is essentially the effect of instead, 1 + 1 = 3, essentially. Each of them together are more than them individually. And so when people say, if someone says to us, they say, listen, I don't want any zero psychoactive effect of anything. We say, listen, then you should really just take a pure CBD product that has just an anti-inflammatory, probably more of an anxiolytic effect than anything with THC. Because part of the problem is depending on someone's tolerance to cannabis, everyone's reaction to any of it is individual and individualistic. And which is one of the frustrating things in telling people about it, because people are used to and conditioned with medication to say, okay, I want to know exactly what I should take. One pill, two pills, once a day, twice a day, you know, 250 milligrams of whatever for antibiotics. The same thing as physicians have a problem with it too. Cannabis isn't quite like that. Cannabis is a very trial and error type of compound where everyone reacts differently to it. So a lot of things are done in ratios. In other words, someone may say a CBD to THC ratio of a 2-to-1, a 3-to-1, a 4-to-1. And they, so four parts of, for example, CBD to one part THC. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't get to milligrams yet, because that's a little bit of a different thing altogether. So in terms of what ratio is talking about, do you want more of a psychoactive effect? Do you want more of a anti-inflammatory and anxiolytic effect from the CBD? If someone wants a high THC, let's say, and someone would be doing it, let's say for pain, you know, someone may want a 1-to-4, in other words, one part CBD, four parts THC, or 1-to-5, or 1-to-7, or 1-to-10. In other words, they still want more of this THC because the THC has more of a pain remedying quality to it than the CBD. And you add the CBD for two reasons. One, because there could be some inflammation, one. And two, CBD has been found to sort of blunt the psychoactive effects of THC. Instead of, because some people say, I smoke a joint, or I take some vaping, and I just get really anxious myself. I get jittery and everything's like, well, it's because your THC that you're taking is probably too much, and you may want to try combining it with some CBD, because it's been found that combining it with CBD sort of tapers that effect also. It sort of acts as a modulating effect to the THC itself.
Okay, that's amazing. And then, so the endocannabinoid, so could you think that the reactions that people have, because they are so different, you know, everyone reacts to the CBD-THC combination differently, is that based on their current endocannabinoid breakdown of what's exactly going on within their body? Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're asking why do people act differently, that could be one hypothesis. I don't think anyone's ever figured that out exactly. So what people are trying to do is match people's DNA to specific strains of cannabis. So in other words, to really pinpoint individualized personal medication and medicine, so that someone looks at your DNA, for example, your blood, and says, listen, you need this, whatever it may be in a concentration or something. Let's see if we can match you to a compound that's produced from either a flower or a vape or a tincture that exactly fits what you have in your DNA to make it a match. And so that is in the works. There are many companies that are working on things like that to develop strains or develop a compound combination that specifically matches what someone's DNA is showing for what's needed in their body. And that's kind of, that's something that is still probably many years down the road before that's able to be come to fruition to someone manufacture that.
Wow.
Are there the same effects if you're using a CBD oil or a THC oil, or if you like vape it? Is it the same thing? Or if you smoke it? Like, I don't do it, so I don't know. I'm curious. Oh. I want to try it, but
Yes, you need, well, put it this way. If just smoking a joint, let's, for example, there's a lot I think it's 50% of the smoke gets side streamed. In other words, gets completely lost when you're not inhaling it. You also see that there's also, you're burning the plant. Some things may not get lost in the burning because you're essentially decarboxylating or making it active. When you're doing that, you're also burning paper and there's carbon. And so it seems like as time is going on, more and more people are not using joints per se, but are going into vaping and using oils more so for a few reasons. One, you're able to get a more selective type of product that's pretty consistent all the time. Because let's say, yes, growing a plant and having the flower is nice, but are you getting the same thing all the time, every time? If someone's called Blue Dream from San Francisco area, is it the same thing as a dispensary in LA? Or is it just something that they said, let's put Blue Dream because it's selling great? So there's that part of it. There's also different concentrations of it depending on the time of year, where it's from, how the harvest went. So it's not as consistent as the oils and the vape pens are getting to be, even though now everyone has to market them and go to the lab to see what's in them. It seems to be more consistent when you see, if you buy a Bloom Farms, for example, cartridge, and it says it's got this amount of THC, this amount of CBD, some terpenes, this and this, you pretty much know anywhere in the state that you go, you buy a Bloom Farm cartridge, it's going to be the same. And if that works for you, that's fine. If you go into a, like I said, a dispensary in wherever, Ukiah, Eureka, and you're asking for a bud tender, can I have this? And they give it to you. It probably is the same thing you smoked or used before, but yeah, it may not be. So it's kind of a problem of, you know, consistent medication across the state and now across the country.
What did you said terpenes?
Well, there's other things that are in the plant that essentially make up, like certain things have a smell to them. Like one of the things that makes the scent of cannabis is like something called, there's pinene. There's many different terpenes that are in it. And they also add to the composition and to the entourage effect of cannabis. Like if you go into a forest and you get that great pine smell and it's really uplifting and it increases your alertness. And that could be, for example, from just a evolutionary thing when, years ago, when thousands of years ago, when our ancestors went into the jungle, they really had to be alert and watch out and make sure there's no animal going to jump them. Well, evolutionary wise, that passed down to us. And so now if you go into a forest or a pine forest and you take a deep breath, all of a sudden your mind seems to be clearer and things sound better and you just get more uplifted and euphoric. That's a terpene, a smell. And so those same types of smells are also in cannabis. So there are some buds and some flower where has a lot of pinene in it, and it works essentially to help increase alertness. And so it's one of the things that are added to cannabis as a flower, or as a flower grows, or extracted and added after into an oil that also has that same type of effect to you. Is it like lavender? There's also something with lavender in it, a lavender smell. And again, that's something that's more relaxing. It's more just like you go into a lavender shop and you smell lavender, people get really calm. And so linalool is the terpene that has that smell. And so it also occurs to make you just more relaxed if you use something, either an oil or a bud that has that type of terpene in it. So you can really dial in to a great extent what type of effect you're looking for. That being said, even that is individualized per person. Even though someone says that, this has linalool or this has pine, it's going to make you more alert and make you more relaxed, someone may use it and say, yeah, that just didn't do it for me. Well, again, it's a trial and error thing. A lot of the people have that reaction. Some, again, don't. That's why for each person, they react differently to what they use.
And correct me if I'm wrong, cannabis was kind of found and started to be used in Asia. Like, is it being used around the world and we're just like the last ones to kind of hop on the train?
Yes and no. I mean, in most countries in the industrialized world, it's still illegal. Different countries are legalizing it. So Mexico, Germany, Italy, England, Israel, of course, is probably the number one research place for things going on with cannabis. It's still, whether or not it's legal in China, I don't think it's really legal. People can use it all the time anywhere. I have to beg ignorance as to where else other than the industrialized countries where it's able to be used out in the open. But you're correct in that it seems to have come originally from China. They have things that opened up tombs 5,000 years old and they found young plants, buds, were still there and they were high in the THC combination of plant instead of a CBD. And they actually analyzed it and found that. And so they figured, and it was seemed to be buried with some high priest. So they're thinking either, the priest may have used it himself or herself to be able to have these psychoactive effects to them, or was using it for their disciples, to give it to them. No one's really sure why, but yeah. You know, you have a high THC plant in someone who was marked as a high priest or priestess. So you think they knew what was going on even 5,000 years ago.
It's just interesting. I'm like, did the United States like fuck it up for everyone because we like abused it and kind of, I don't know. It's just,
I think
like,
that
weird.
Was like the Reagan era really made marijuana seem negative. You know what I mean? Yeah. I guess that would be like the next question in it. So why do you think that, you know, we've kind of demonized marijuana where it's illegal, you know, in a lot of places we have a stigma around it. Do you think it was like big pharma being in bed with the government? I mean, I'm not asking you to go on like a completely, I'm not asking you to go on like a complete, you know, conspiracy theory, but like, what do you think it is that's like kept us from coming to this place where we are looking for a natural solution?
Well, it all started, I mean, quite frankly, there is a history to all of this. And, you know, in the late 1800s and early 1900s, cannabis had been used in the pharmacopoeia, in other words, in the medicine that doctors were giving in the United States and also around the world. Queen Elizabeth found it useful for her menstrual cramps, and it was prescribed and given to her because of that. And for many years, up until the early 1900s, cannabis was used by the medical societies to treat different types of conditions and was used very successfully. And so what wind up happening, why did it become demonized is around the same time that prohibition stopped, there started to be a campaign against medical marijuana. And, you know, people started looking into it and saying, well, we think we should ban this, whether or not. Now, again, Henry Anslinger was the guy who was primarily responsible for doing this. And what he was into, he had something to do with prohibition before that. And then he was put in charge of the federal agency to sort of monitor pharmaceuticals also and drugs. And so then he wound up saying that the end of prohibition, that cannabis wasn't a problem, didn't harm people, etc. And the AMA came out and said, yes, we think it's really very, very useful. And so then he became head of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics and saw that there was increasing frequency of people smoking cannabis. And what they wanted to do, and he was a blatant racist, and said, well, what can we do to take cannabis and really essentially demonize it? So they wound up starting to use, and this is also in conjunction probably with William Hearst, mm-hmm. And saying, okay, let's start calling this stuff marijuana, which sort of gave it a Mexican type of flavor, mm-hmm. and said, well, these people are the ones that are using it. And the people who are using this are, you know, they're Mexican people, they're Black people, they're musicians, they're all people that are using marijuana and are going insanely crazy and attacking people, young people, white people, women all over the country. That old thing, Reefer Madness, that film that was put out years ago showed, have you guys seen that?
Yes.
Reefer Madness. Okay. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the generation and the PR that was put out. Again, demonizing
propaganda.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely was propaganda. And the AMA kept saying, listen, this is really, really useful. This is something that we should use. And what wound up happening is they made it illegal, essentially. First, they put a tax on it, a huge tax on medical and recreational. People couldn't even start using it because it started getting more and more expensive. And so after they did that, whether or not, you know, other companies were involved in it, you know, that may or may not be true. But what wound up happening is in 1937, they did the Tax Act, which is how they essentially taxed the cannabis. And then after that, made it illegal in a Schedule I. And they had commission after commission trying to find something wrong with cannabis and trying to research it to say whether or not it was in fact harmful. And the AMA kept saying, no, we can't see anything harmful in this. And of course, they weren't listened to. And it became a Schedule One drug. And that's a set. And then it started happening where this is your brain on drugs, et cetera, and making it even worse to be able to have that stigma and that association of any type of drug. This is the end result of it.
Wow. That is isn't it crazy like that, like, I think about that, and then I think about Nikola Tesla and, you know, like Einstein and electricity and everything like that. And it's like, want, like, we are still living by the jurisdiction of like one person whose motives could be aren't in our best interest. You know, like, we don't, like, us questioning like why someone did something like this and why we believe these things, you know, that marijuana people can go crazy and become violent, or, you know, all the negative things that kind of were part of the yellow journalism around this with, you know, Hearst and everything like that. It's like our questioning of us believing these things is so important. Like, yeah. You know, it's just like, yeah. This person had his views, you know, his racist, whatever views on things, and like turned us in a direction of believing that like marijuana is bad. And everyone's just like, marijuana is bad.
Yep. And it got, like you said, it got propagated in the Reagan years. I mean, everyone remembers and have the little thing about this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs, yep. type of thing. And unfortunately to this day, that's what's been carried on. And then, of course, it wound up, you know, in the 60s and the 70s with the quote hippie era and people seeing, you know, essentially stoned people and using it only essentially for the euphoric effect that essentially got, you know, embedded into everyone's mind, also as associating one with the other. The Cheech and Chong movies, etc., kind of propagated the same theme. And so that is what a lot of people in, you know, of all ages, even, you know, you see a TV interview and you talk to and you see someone being interviewed and they, all the little quips and names that go along, you know, the Weed Nation and this and that, sort of have that implication of the stoner dude mentality. And what we've tried to do and we've always concentrated on is showing cannabis as a health and wellness type of system instead of the recreational or adult use side, using it for that euphoric effect. So but it's still something that when I go around and talk to medical staffs and other doctors, you know, it still is, but it is changing, I have to say. To many of them, it still is a wink, wink. Yeah, you're using it for medicinal purposes. Sure you are. You know, again, I don't.
Yeah. But
people are using it for that instead of saying, well, really, it works for medicine stuff? Well, why don't you tell me about it? Which, again, that stigma is changing with physicians also.
You guys want to go to the cannabis store?
Yeah.
How was that?
So cool, right?
So cool.
It's so much information and it's so good. So I'm so glad that you guys listened. Thank you so much. We appreciate you so very much. We read every message that we get from you. We love seeing what you're doing in the Facebook group. We love the support you're giving other people. So we're really happy to share and talk about this topic with you because it's really important.
Yeah. So we have part two of our conversation with Perry Solomon of Hello MD coming up on Thursday. So stay tuned for that. And again, if you love this episode or any other episodes or this podcast in general, please share it with your friends. I think that's like the greatest way that we've grown. So don't stop doing it. We love you guys.
See you Thursday.